Hello, welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. We're back after a wee hiatus, a little trip to the sun for Matthew, and I stayed in Scotland myself, although I did go to London. But we're back. We've had a couple of weeks off and we're back fresher than ever, Matthew.
Yes, the summer holidays, weren't they just glorious? So I've been back in Scotland now for a week. And excited to get back to the podcast, believe it or not. Not excited to get back to Scotland, but came up with quite a lot of ideas for podcast episodes when I was away, and I've been jotting them down. So just getting back to it this week, want to talk a wee bit about download numbers. How much downloads should you be getting when you're making an audio drama? Is there hard and fast numbers that you should be aiming for? Or is it all pretty subjective? We'll talk a wee bit as well about in-person events, because Robert, you visited New Media Europe a few weeks ago. I had the pleasure of attending an audio dramatist meetup out in California. So we'll talk a bit about those events as well, and about the benefits of meeting people in real life, if you like.
Yeah.
But I suppose we'll start with the download number topic. This was an idea that came off the back of a post that appeared in our podcast Facebook community on the 13th of June. It was by Jamie Huff, and Jamie said, "When do you stop producing a podcast? I've been working on Bootlegger for 9 months and I've only grown to 30 listeners per episode. Time to close shop." Jamie had a really good response when he posted that. Lots of people chipping in with some encouragement and some advice. A lot of people checked out his show and listened to it. I'm sure he got a wee boost by that. But perhaps the most succinct reply came from Mr. Casey Wayland of We're Alive, who said, "Stop when it stops being fun. If you enjoy doing it, who cares if it's 50 people or 50,000 people, as long as someone digs it." And I think that sums up probably most people's opinions on the matter. I think it's easy to be looking for your next 100 downloads, but 30 people are listening to you, and you know, that's 30 people, it's a room full of people. You're telling them a story that you've created, and what a marvellous opportunity that is for you.
Yeah, I remember we had X amount of downloads regularly for Aftermath, and that was okay, but then suddenly out of the blue we would have one person, one individual, who would message us and say they really enjoyed it. And that meant more than the download numbers, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, yeah, that wee bit of engagement when somebody gets in touch. And, you know, it's great to look at your stats and see spikes and see, you know, a couple of hundred downloads one day. It's great, but you're not hearing anything back. It could be 200 people that absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
It probably isn't, but, you know, it's engagement versus just cold, hard numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I guess if you really want to gauge it, you have to do it by gauging yourself against people that are similarly situated, people with maybe a similar type of podcast. At least other audio dramatists figure out what they're doing as well that you might not be doing. Like, are you in the same groups? That person, what was the guy's name? Jamie Huff.
Yeah.
It's not a name I recognise. I didn't recognise the audio drama. I didn't recognise his name. So he's obviously not out there as much as other people are. You know, we could name a few people that are constantly doing the right things to promote themselves and get in touch with people, engage with people, and you get to know them. Some of our favourite audio dramas, we've become aware of them, not because they've screamed and shouted the name from the rooftops, but because we've gotten to know them, they've gotten involved, they've taken part in discussions. So, that
yeah.
You know, in the world of social media nowadays, I think that's the real thing you have to do, is get involved.
Yeah, I think Kessie made a really good point a few weeks ago on the back of this, on the Facebook community as well, that there's definitely, you know, you see podcasts and audio dramas that are guilty of over-promotion, where it's just completely route one, you know, throwing everything they have at you. But also, you know, people will be guilty of not promoting their shows at all.
Yeah.
You've got to find that balance. And I think a lot of that balance is, like you say, getting involved in communities, having discussions. It's not always about sharing links with each other, but sometimes it is. You know, we come out with new episodes, people definitely deserve to promote their stuff to their friends.
Yeah.
And the people that they're talking shop with all the time. So it's about finding a balance, I think, with promotion. And this probably warrants a couple of episodes on its own, you know, different ways that you could probably promote your show.
Yeah, I would definitely say that there are people that I've gone on to listen to their audio drama, not because of the description of the audio drama or anything like that, or reputation, but because I observed that the way this person handled themselves or the way they contributed to a discussion made me think, well, they're a sensible person, they must know what they're talking about, therefore their audio drama is worth a listen. And it turns out it was worth a listen.
So how about some numbers, some facts? Because I'm a listener to Libsyn's official podcast. Libsyn, the media host, do a podcast every 2 weeks. It's called The Feed. And Rob Walsh, who's one of the presenters there, and I think he's one of the top guys at Libsyn, he always gives some statistics for their, you know, their download figures. And them being the biggest podcast media host on the planet, it's, you know, it's an accurate gauge of the numbers, the download numbers of podcasts overall. So this isn't just audio dramas, this is podcasts as well. So on the last episode of The Feed, Rob said that if you're, he didn't say this verbatim, but these were the stats. If your new episode gets more than 169 downloads within 30 days of its release, you're in the top 50% of podcasts.
Wow.
That's a lower figure than I think most people would anticipate, isn't it?
Quite low, yeah. It reminds me of what you were saying before, Casey Weiland. He had very low figures for a long time. And it slowly crept up. And then he just turned a corner and it catapulted to the moon, basically.
Yeah, so if you're hitting 169, 179 downloads in the first month of releasing an episode, you are in the top half of podcasters. So
that's incredible.
It's a low bar to get quite a, you know, an achievement that's going to give you a good sense of, well, achievement.
That's obviously the bar, as you say, where people will try different podcasts. You know, you've been there, you've gone through your podcasting app and tried to listen to one, tried to listen to another, and eventually you'll settle on one. So obviously we're all doing this, we're all listening to different podcasts to work out what we like and giving them a chance. So that's where you get that figure, I would say, of 169, because everybody listens to a few. They might not listen to for more than a minute, but they're listening to it at least once. So yeah, you have to obviously work hard enough to get to the stage where people will listen more than once, and that's the key thing, isn't it? How do we do that?
Yeah, getting subscribers, not just getting somebody who's checking you out. Moving on to the next part of these statistics, if your new episode gets more than 1,300 downloads within 30 days of its release, that's you in the top 20% of podcasts. So I guess a few people in audio drama are going to be doing that. I know certainly the feed that we've got our audio dramas on does that.
And really?
I think, you know, will be maybe 1,300, 1,400, and that's after 30 days of the release. The next stage up to get you into the top 10% of podcasts is 3,800 downloads. 3,800 downloads if we're on the other side of the Atlantic. You want to get in the top 8% of podcasts, that's 5,000 downloads. And the top 5% of podcasts, 9,600 or 9,600 downloads. Top 2% of podcasts, 27,000. So we've got a fair bit to go till we get into that. And
within 30 days, 27,000.
Yeah, within 30. And that's one episode. That's not your entire feed. That's just one episode. And the top 1% of podcasts, 52,000. So
it's not astronomical.
No.
I mean, it's huge, but it's not like silly. It's not like, oh, that person's got 6 million Twitter followers sort of thing, and that's we're never going to hit 6 million, are we, in terms of Twitter followers? But, I mean, it's not impossible that one day we make something that can have 50,000 downloads.
Yeah. It's these numbers aren't to be obsessed over, but I think they're a good benchmark. They'll let you know kind of how you're doing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And as audio drama creators, I would say, because we talk about this a lot in podcasting in general, you can't compare one niche to the next. The weight loss niche or fitness niche, there's loads of potential listeners there. You could have something that's really obscure and there's just not a potential listenership there at all, and you get 30 listeners per podcast episode, but you could still be doing really well within that niche. But in audio drama, I think we can kind of all say that we're roughly aiming at the same audience, aren't we? So whoever's numbers are there for somebody are there for somebody else. There are different genres again, but we can compare our numbers to each other. Again, it depends how long you've been doing it.
It's funny you should say that. We were going to talk about it later on when I went to New Media Europe in London last month. But on the subject that we're talking about, there was a talk there, and I can't remember who gave it. I think it might have been Matt Young, but don't quote me. Whoops, recorded now. Never mind, it was Matt Young. He said that podcast audiences, you can narrow it down to a very specific person, and you should narrow your audience down to a single person that you're aiming at. It was Kevin Fields that said that, the radio chap. And they reckon most podcast listeners are working to middle class, educated, are interested in fitness, are interested in X and Y. And basically, you can compare that to the majority of podcasts, which are, as you say, there's so many fitness apps out there because that's what people want. There's self-help podcasts out there. There's obviously a big audience that listens to audio drama, that wants to listen to audio fiction. So maybe we can put in the show notes, I can knock something up that talks about the different podcasts out there compared to the currently perceived, not average, but your common, I suppose average person that you'd be aiming at.
Yeah, we're in the entertainment niche as audio dramatists, and people want to be entertained. Fair enough, we're not providing them with actionable tips on anything in our audio dramas, unless you've done something quite clever with that. But people just want entertained. They want a bit of escapism on their commute, on their drive home, before they go to sleep at night. That's what we're providing for them. There's always going to be a thirst for that. There are loads of people looking for audio drama. I know we've been saying this for the last couple of years, and it's not just us that have been saying it. You go on any community online, on the Reddit group and things like that, there's people coming on there every day, and they're saying, where can I find more audio drama?
Yeah.
So your job as a listener to this podcast, as a producer of audio drama, is to create that quality stuff for them to find, and get them to subscribe to your show, win them over as a fan of your show, and build your audience.
And I think it's a cyclical thing at the moment that people are quite often going on and looking for audio drama that they'll have heard of in some way, like from other media, I should say, like Batman, Star Wars, Doctor Who, because they know that that stuff exists in audio form already, or they'll know existing franchises will also exist in audio, and they want it there as well. So therefore, there's a lot of fan fiction out there that meets that demand, and that's what people are looking for. But we love to quote people from history, don't we? Like Marilyn Monroe, JFK, Henry Ford, who said if he listened to market research, he would have, if he asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. But he didn't build a faster horse, he built a car. So it's up to the people like us to make original audio drama, and we know that people will like it. There won't be as big a demand for original stuff maybe as fan fiction, but that's not their fault and it's not our fault, but we're going to make it. And it's going to be great.
Well said indeed. So will we move on then to talk a wee bit about, you've touched on it already. You were at New Media Europe and, a lot of podcasters, a lot of bloggers. So you're down there flying the flag for audio drama in a sense.
Yes, that's
right. How did you find the event? Because I obviously couldn't make it. I was out in California.
Enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good, actually. If anything, it was energising to know that we're not alone in the podcasting world, and not just audio drama, but people that are making self-improvement podcasts. There was a knitting podcast that won a huge award. It was just good to be amongst people that were of the same mind, interviewing people, coming up with ways to invigorate their content. And it was really good. There were a lot of good talks around about stuff that would benefit any podcaster as well, like how to get your content out there, why you should be putting your content out there, how to approach people. Some really good stuff about how to approach people for interviews without writing 7 paragraphs of apologising for bothering them and that kind of crap. It's like, no, just tell them what you want, how it can benefit them, let's make a deal. Stuff like that. I mean, I could talk for hours about the conference, but it was really useful. I found myself actually, when people would come and say, hello, why are you here? What are you doing here? What are you all about? And then I would say, oh yeah, audio drama production podcast, blah, 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 blah. And then I would say eventually, oh yeah, I'm actually here with work. I should mention that as well. We, you know, and we work at the podcast host and we mentor people that want to make podcasts or make the podcast for them. But it was only after 10 minutes of conversation with people that I would remember to mention the, you know, the company that paid for me to be there in the first place. Yeah, no, it was really good that there wasn't a lot of mention of audio drama particularly. I think it was just me.
It's a more business-focused conference though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the podcasting circles, you know,
yeah.
It is people that are podcasting for business.
But they were all really interested, like, oh, wow, like, they're sort of doing businessy stuff, but the fact that we're doing what we love, if you like, seemed to really, you know, excite them. And there's got to be a balance, you know, between doing what you love, but also doing all the right things to get it out there and get it heard. And you shouldn't be too much one way or the other. Obviously, somebody like Casey Wayland is doing the right stuff. He's very good at all of these things, and he gets his content out there and gets it recognised. So I can see us talking more about this on the podcast in future.
Yeah, so whilst you were there, I was out in sunny California, staying in San Diego. And the first Sunday that I was out there, there had been a meet-up arranged in the We're Alive HQ up in Anaheim, which I thought was LA, but it's not really LA. It's kind of like what Cumbernauld is to Glasgow.
Right.
Not sure Cumbernauld's ever been compared to a town in the US before, but yeah, right. Anaheim's nice enough. It's not quite LA, but we got the train up there, myself and Julia, my wife, and it was like a 10-15 minute walk up to these. It's like a shared office space that Casey's got, and he's
right.
got a couple of these offices totally soundproofed. He's got the wee set that looks like an apartment where they're doing their live streaming. They're doing a lot now, obviously, with lockdown, but went to the event and the shows that were represented there, and I'm sorry if I've missed anyone out, but We're Alive, Fire on the Mound, Pen and Paper, the Paragon Podcast Network, Ars Paradoxica, Return Home, and Nova Dark. So Nova Dark, that's Justin Fife and Ron Rose, a pair of manlier men you've never met. Big men.
Really?
Great man hugs.
Did you feel so intimidated?
No, not really. They're really nice guys. Everyone there was really nice. It was just great. We sat and talked audio drama. We covered loads of different topics, and then Casey had his computer there. He was showing us a session, a lockdown session. We were asking him questions about things. It was just brilliant. It was surreal. Because, you know, here's all these people that we've been in touch with, some longer than others.
Yeah.
And suddenly you find yourself sitting in a room talking audio drama. It was mental. We actually, we went for lunch afterwards. And there was a few people there had their cars. And me and Julia got a lift with EC Bond, who we've known for a number of years.
That's fabulous.
And I had this moment of clarity, and I said to him, you know, driving through the streets and a nice sunny day, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm sitting in a car here with EC Bonnie's driving, we're just chatting, and I was like, this is mental. And
this is like when you wake up and you think, oh, I'm not playing in the World Cup final for Scotland.
But it kind of made me think, and I don't want to get all philosophical, but what a great age, what a great era where we have the capabilities to create stories that we've dreamt up and make them and put them out there, and people all over the world hear them. And not only hear them, but you get in touch with people, you talk to them about their shows, they talk to you about yours, you become friends with people on the other side of the world. And then these wee opportunities now and then come up where you could actually go and meet these people. And it's phenomenal. We have access. We can do this. And it doesn't really cost a lot. And if you told somebody that 30 or 40 years ago that was working in radio drama, they wouldn't have believed that that was possible.
Yeah. No, certainly not in the UK. They'd be like, well, you either work for the BBC or you don't.
Yeah.
End of story.
And I think for as many problems we face doing audio drama, you know, learning the technology, and there's all these setbacks, and again we've talked about Jamie Wee's, what he perceived as low download numbers,
mm-hmm.
I think we need to remember how lucky we are to live in this age of technology where we can do this stuff for not that much money and put it out there. It's easy to just take it for granted now, isn't it?
Well, as you say, 30 years ago, the likes of you and I would have dreamed about writing on a piece of paper and throwing it in a bottle into the sea and hoping that one day someone might read it and engage with someone far away. And now we're broadcasting to people on every continent. It's incredible.
Yeah, and anyone can do it. You don't need very much to do that. So, in times where you're maybe not as happy where you are, just remember the opportunities that we have and try and take advantage of that as best you can and just create these stories and get them out there to the world.
Yeah, and I would say if you do worry about your numbers, you're not sure what you're lacking, if anything, why it's not quite happening for you, then by all means get in touch with us or get in touch with the Facebook group and share your story. I mean, that's what we're doing after all, sharing stories, aren't we? And we'll take a look at it and see what we can do.
So I mentioned we had some other topics lined up over the next few weeks, next few months. You know, I've mapped out a few episodes. Joe Bowdler down in London, our pal Joe, he'd done an interview for us before a few months ago on the podcast, and he actually managed to catch up with Rebecca Fenton, who commissions original content at Audible UK. She's basically the UK's version of Eric Nazum, who we had on the show a few months ago. I listened to that interview last night, and it's really good. It's you know, really valuable. I think it'll give a lot of people a few ideas for maybe pitching stuff to Audible. I do need to find out what the state of play is, because this wasn't asked in the interview. I need to find out exactly what does it mean to be Audible UK. Can someone outside the UK pitch to them? I'm presuming so, because there's no real benefit in saying that you could only live in the UK. I know we live in turbulent political times, but I'll find out, I'll clarify that detail, but we're going to be playing that interview sometime in the next few weeks. And Joe himself, he does a lot of stuff on Resonance FM, I think it is. It's a fairly big community station down in London, and he's been working on a comedy sketch show called Mirth Defect. So I think that's going to, episode one of that's going to launch next month. So Joe had actually sent me the pilot, the first episode, and I had a listen to that last night, and now and then you hear something that really excites you. It's similar to music. If you're a music lover, you know when you hear a new band or a new album, and it's awesome that you feel like you've discovered this treasure trove. And I was listening, I'm not trying to blow smoke up his arse or anything, but I was listening to this sketch show that he's put together, and I just thought, this is going to be huge.
Yeah.
I don't like comparing stuff to anything else, but it's kind of like a more surreal and more vulgar version of We Are Not Alone, which I don't know if that's still on the go. It was a British comedy sketch show, which I really liked as well, but I think this is going to be really big. And I gave Joe some pointers. There was a couple of wee things that personally that I felt he could maybe look at going forward, and he was glad to hear the feedback. But in all, really looking forward to this coming out, and you know, people should check it out, because like I say, I think this is going to be one of the next big audio dramas that we see out there.
And when's it scheduled for release?
I think it's next month.
Next month, okay.
Yeah. So, keep an eye out for that. We'll have more details on that when we play Joe's interview with Rebecca. That's all about commissioning stuff with Audible UK.
Very good. Interesting.
I was also chatting to Christian at the Once and Future Nerd. That's one of my favourite audio dramas as well. Mm-hmm. Christian was letting me know that they've released a special edition of their first season or series. They call it a book. I don't know if the first book, second book, I don't know if that means a season or series. Even though I've listened to the show, I can't quite figure that out.
Right.
But they've put together, let's just call it for the sake of ease, let's call it the first series.
Yeah.
They've put the entire first series on a USB drive that looks like an old cassette tape. This was something that our pal Domine done with the audio epic stuff with the Witch Hunter Chronicles. Yeah. These things look amazing, and I had a look on the website. So it literally, it's like an old cassette tape with the cover art, and you open it, it's like a cassette tape, but it's a USB drive. Wow. And so the first season's on this thing. It runs for about 12 hours and includes some bonus content, including a round table chat with the cast, moderated by me.
Wow.
So that's worth the money alone to get a bit of me in there.
Yeah.
The price I was looking at, £12.50 in the UK, $16.60. I didn't realise that the pound had died quite so much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do these automatic conversions before, so I saw it was £12.50 and I'm thinking, right, that's probably like $22, $23.
Yeah.
I better check, and it was like, right, okay, the dollar and the pound are...
the relationship has changed.
The boot's on the other foot now, yeah. So all profits, all proceeds will go towards funding book two, or season two, if you want to call it that, which is in pre-production at the moment. Audiobooksontape.com is the website. You search for Once in Future Nerd on there, or you could just go to the show notes, audiodramaproduction.com, and I'll put a link directly to the product itself.
Maybe we could sell things like, you know, our entire back catalogue leading up to the break that we just had there. Put every episode of the Audio Drama Production podcast out. Disguise it as a, I don't know, a reel-to-reel or something, like a big six-foot thing.
Yeah, a gramophone.
Yeah.
Gramophone with a USB connection.
Yeah, with a Doctor Who sticker on it or something. A TARDIS. A little miniature TARDIS that had cookies in it, but it's actually a USB thing.
Yeah, get your ideas in. What would you like your audio drama production podcast back catalogue USB drive to look like?
Sister Act 2.
A big lawnmower.
Yeah, the ideas are flying now.
I think that's enough anyway. We've chatted, we're back, and like I say, yeah, we've got some episodes in the pipeline. As always, get in touch with us. It's been a while, so podcast.audiodramaproduction.com is where you could do just that.
Yeah.
And I suppose all that's left to say, Robert, is farewell.
Yes, until next time, we'll see you in the usual channels. Cheerio.